First, a reminder that right after Mass, we'll meet at the statue of St. Peregrine for our weekly novena to the saint, for those who are fighting cancer and for their caregivers. As a reminder, while we would normally all assemble around the statue for the duration of the quarantine, myself, the deacon, and the server will go. We ask you to remain in your seats and join spiritually into the prayer. Also, a reminder, every Thursday at 10 o'clock and at 8:30 p.m., we have Thoughts on Theology with John Paul Bowling. If you miss it at 10, you can still catch it tonight at 8:30. It's a great show that introduces aspects of theology and our teachings of the church. Very helpful. And I've received many emails of people praising it. So if you haven't seen it, you can catch it. It's on our Grace Lily page. Previous episodes or tonight, you can catch the encore. Also, as a reminder, at 4 o'clock, Monday through Thursday, I give a daily briefing. Someone emailed me and they said, "Father, I didn't realize there was so much happening at Our Lady of Grace." Like, trust me, I'm the one in charge of it, all right? So I hope that you can tune in. If you are not able to watch it live, you can again watch it on our Grace Lily page. Those are being given so that you know exactly what's happening in our parish. So there's no guessing games. You know there's no secrets. We're not trying to keep anything from anyone. You know exactly what we're doing. And then lastly, just a reminder of the Teresa Tomeo books in the Narthex. Those are free. We ask that you please take as many as you'd like. Please take some for your neighbors, Catholic, non-Catholic. It'd be great for a Catholic to knock on the door of a non-Catholic and say, "I think you need to read this book," right? So please grab some, share them generously. Those are extra copies. So whatever's there is for you to take. So please be generous in taking books and generous in sharing them with your neighbor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So today, we hear in the book of Sirach this recollection of the holy ones, Elijah and Elisha. We, of course, have been hearing before the past few days about their accounts. Here we see them being echoed and remembered later in salvation history in wisdom literature. What I find most consoling about the story of Elijah and Elisha is that Elijah was quite the irascible person. You read about his life, this was not a nice guy. One case in point, some children were making fun of his bald head. He told them to stop. They wouldn't. Because they mocked the prophet of God, he called upon bears and they ate the children for mocking the anointed one. Yeah, shocking to contemporary believers. You do not mock God's anointed, right? So Elijah just was irascible, huh? I don't think we'd enjoy hanging out with him, right? I find it consoling because sometimes I can be irascible, right? I'm thinking, well, if Elijah got to those heights, then there's hope for me and the rest of us, right? And of course, Elisha, when he could have asked for anything of God, he asked for a double portion of the prophetic spirit. Powerful. That's all he wanted. Similar to Solomon asking for wisdom. Elisha didn't ask for wealth or power or influence. Just give me a double portion of your spirit. A great encouragement to us of where our hearts should be directed, what our hearts should desire. That leads us, of course, to our gospel reading today. The apostles are watching Jesus pray every morning, every night. It takes some time, but eventually they ask the Lord, as he returns one night from prayer, "Lord, teach us to pray." You can imagine Jesus saying, "Finally," I've been waiting for them to ask, right? It's like I pray every morning, every night. Sometimes when we hear about the prayer of our Lord, we can wonder, what is he praying? What is in the heart of the Lord Jesus as he prays to the Father? We only have two accounts of his prayer. The first, the Lord's Prayer. The second, the high priestly prayer contained in the 17th chapter of St. John's Gospel. It's the only time we get to see a glimpse of that intimacy between the Father and the Son. Today we see in the Lord's Prayer a reflection of that intimacy. Jesus is not simply giving us a prayer. He's describing his own interior life. I think it's powerful that this prayer is given literally as he is concluding prayer with the Father. That means when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are participating in Christ's prayer to the Father. It means we are united, included in this powerful prayer. And of course, not simply is the Lord's Prayer a summary of what's in the Lord's heart, but it's a summary of the entire gospel. It's a summary of everything that we should desire. The traditional seven tenets of the Lord's Prayer describe for us exactly what we're called to do. The first three tenets: God's name, God's kingdom, God's will. Dear friends, we have to start with those three. If we don't get those right, nothing else is ordered. Nothing else makes sense. Everything is scattered. Everything is fragmented. We begin with God's name, God's kingdom, God's will. It's only after we get those three right that we move to the last part of the Lord's Prayer, those last four petitions. Give us, forgive us. Deliver us. Let me see, I'm forgetting one. Help me out. Lead us. Thank you. Lead us. Good. We've got some Christians around here. Thank you. Lead us, give us, forgive us, lead us. Thank you, Mel. And deliver us. Those four petitions we should be asking God every day. Give us this day our daily bread. We can't do this by ourselves. Forgive us, Lord. And then we will forgive others. Never forget, dear friends, that we ask the Lord to forgive us as we forgive others. Be careful, because if you pray this prayer and you have an unforgiving heart, you pray judgment upon yourself. And then, of course, we ask the Lord to lead us and to deliver us from evil. Those are the seven petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Incidentally, the early teachers of our faith, they saw the first three and the last four as a fulfillment of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, the first three, our relationship with God. The last seven, our relationship with our neighbor. And the Lord's Prayer fulfills that call. You see how much the Lord has given to us? It's hard for us, because most of us learned this prayer while we were learning how to talk, right? We've just gotten used to it. Familiarity, it can breed contempt. But familiarity can also breed affection. And we are called today by the Lord Jesus, when we pray, to pray this way. So I encourage you in your prayer life, take the Lord's Prayer, slow things down, and listen to each petition. And realize what the Lord is praying and what he's encouraging and teaching us to pray. That God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will be the priority of our lives. And throughout this fallen world, as we seek to follow him in the most excellent way of love, that we will always ask God to give us, forgive us, lead us, and deliver us.